Welcome back to the Mix Files. Our guest this week is Tommy Brewster, a fine, fine piano player, singer, songwriter, fun person. The Mix Files premieres an interview with a Mixposure artist each week on Saturday Night Rocks, the live radio show on Saturday night, on Mixstream Radio from Mixposure.com. I'm your host, Cooter. Like to remind you to please check the Mixposure.com homepage frequently. I put a blog up there each week, usually on Thursdays, letting everyone who is interested know who the guest on the coming Mix Files will be. There are also links to get to the chat room. Would love to have you join us in chat if you are able. There is also a link to the radio if you prefer just to listen without joining us in chat. Either way is fine, and we appreciate you either way. And finding that blog is simple enough. In your internet browser, you type in, if you don't already have it bookmarked, and frankly, you should, Mixposure.com, Mixposure.com. That'll get you to Mixposure's homepage. Generally, you need to scroll down about little over halfway, maybe two-thirds way down the page to see the blog, but there it is. Every week, usually on Thursdays, is when it's up. And it usually stays up until after the show sometime. The Mix Files is available in a podcast, and The Mix Files has its own page on Mixposure, which you can also get to from that blog. There is a link there. If you want to type it directly into your browser, it is mixposure.com/mixfiles. Simple enough. Let's get started. This is fun.
How did you find Mixposure, Tommy?
How did I find it?
Yeah.
Larry Talbot invited me.
Yes, Werewolf.
A long time ago. And I think he found me on MySpace originally or something, and he said, why don't you come and join this site? And I did. Mm-hmm. And then I probably forgot about it, actually. I forgot about it. Because, you know, you go mad, don't you? You go on all sorts of sites when you're first trying to do things.
Yes.
And then one day I was on Facebook, having left MySpace, which is sort of destroying itself. But anyway, I was on Facebook, and I saw, I think it was Mike, saying he was going to play some indies or music, I can't remember what it was.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I hadn't seen it, and I knew of him. And I said, oh, hi, that sounds interesting. And he said, oh, Tommy, why don't you send me some music? And I said, oh, all right then.
Yes.
I'll come to the site. And so I came back, and Mike said, oh, I'll play some of this tonight. And that was, and he did.
Uh-huh.
And so then
you're
I...
You're talking about Mike Colgraf, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah.
And I uploaded a few songs, and really felt very much at home, I have to say. Because I go on a lot of sites, or I have done,
mm-hmm.
and really is very different. It's different. And the reasons are, one, because they're all musicians. They're musicians who take their music seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And they're musicians who listen to other people's music,
mm-hmm.
And sort of back you up. It's very friendly.
Yes.
I always feel very relaxed there.
Yeah.
And they always welcome you, you know, and such great people.
Mm-hmm.
I really have to say that.
Yeah.
And so I came back not long ago, about 6 months ago or something, and thought, how can I do more here? So I did a subscription or whatever it is, just so I could put, you know, more music on.
What about your new CD, Tommy?
Right. What about my new CD?
Let's focus on that for just a moment.
Okay.
Let's not talk specifically about the new, and let's just talk about putting one together. Do you say, oh, look, I've got 15 tunes here, I guess I'll put them in a CD, or does a concept for the overall CD come to you, and then you start writing tunes specifically for the CD, or does that happen some other way with you?
Well, it's a bit of a mixture, really. The first album I ever put out, which was called In the Making, actually strangely got out there with the title in the making, because it was just a name I'd given it while I was working on it. And then it sort of ended up being called In the Making. But
And You Are that, a Liar is from that CD,
yes.
Is it not? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I love that because it's very stark. It's very bare. There's not a lot in it. It's just piano, drums, bass, me, a bit of harmonica. Very naked in a way. I wanted it to be like that. And again, by just singing the vocal once, that's another one that only got sung once. I think it captures something, because I actually think the first time you sing a song is often the best. For me, anyway.
You're a liar and a cheat. You're a liar and a cheat. I don't need you in my life. Can't stand the heat. You tell me love is cruel. Well, here I am, just your fool. But when you hold me, and when you touch me, love is sweet. You take more than you give, but you're my reason. To leave you, can't seem to see you for what you really, really are. 'Cause I love you, God help me, I love you, and I just can't break away. Turning out to be just like a hell. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. There is no escape. For me, it's just too late. 'Cause you're in my blood, whether I like it. Oh, you take more than you give, but you're my reason to live. Can't seem to leave you, can't seem to see you for what you really, really are. And I need you, God help me, I need. What did you do to make it feel so good? I'm lost and I'm broken. I can't go, though I know I should. You're everything, more than that, but your cheating is there in your eyes. tell me some more of your lies. I need to feel alive. I need to feel alive. And the only time
Tommy, what got you started?
I can't remember when I didn't. I started playing. Well, no, it's true. My first memories are reaching up to a piano. And I started playing before I was 4 years old.
That's wonderful.
As soon as I touched the keys, I can remember it. And I knew that was it for me.
Yeah.
I wanted to do that. I did dancing as well. And I did classical music. And all the exams, all the boring things. I play other instruments as well, which were sort of sideline, really. And then I won a scholarship to the Royal Academy of Music in London to study classical music. And I went off to London at a very early age, actually. And I studied, basically, I concentrated on Chopin. And the history of music and, of course, the theory of music. So I studied in great detail, and I actually got a doctorate when I was only 20.
Good on you.
Yes, me. That's me. I did that.
Yes.
Yes. I thought, I want to be a classic. I'm going to be a concert pianist.
Mm-hmm.
And it was what I thought I wanted to do. But while I was a student, I got lured into all sorts of jazz and blues clubs. Like, I used to go to the Marquee as a student, get in free, and Ronnie Scott's and all that. And I met an awful lot of quite famous people, actually, who would be there rehearsing, you know, and that sort of thing.
Yes, my brothers played the Marquee.
Oh, right, the Marquee Club's quite something, yeah.
The Hippodrome, I think.
This is speaking to me, you know, this is wonderful stuff. I love this.
Uh-huh.
And I got a chance to sort of jam around a bit.
Yeah.
And it all went out the window, really. And and I started, you know, playing a few little gigs, really, and jamming with a couple of bands and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And it just went on from there. But, I mean, I started writing when I was about 15. I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs. So it just went on from there. And then I've moved around the world a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the opportunity to come to New Zealand, not knowing anything about it,
mm-hmm.
not knowing anybody here. And I thought, well, that seems like a good idea. I'll go and do that then. And so I did. And I got off the plane and thought, what have I actually done? But anyway, I know. but people were very nice, and I've loved it ever since.
Yeah.
And really is a great place. It's very creative here.
Uh-huh.
It's an atmosphere of, it's very laid back. It really is. I'm very quiet and generally peaceful. I live out in the wilds.
That's cool.
By the ocean.
Oh, and, yeah.
So when I'm, you know, it's a beautiful place. I'm very fortunate. And I didn't, you know, I haven't always made a wonderful living out of my own music, but because I studied it in great detail, I can do manuscripts, you know, I can do what people require for publishing. I know you can use a computer piece of software these days, mm-hmm. but it doesn't always get it quite what you want. I mean, you've got to be able to understand how to do that. I can actually, you know, so I have done that manually.
Uh-huh.
That was quite lucrative, if very tedious.
Let's focus back, if you don't mind. I mean, we can go anywhere you want with this. But can we focus back just on right now, the two tunes that that are going to be in the mix files from My Own Shade of Blue, which are Once in a Lifetime and Shouldn't Be Here.
Right.
Did you, where in the spectrum of how songs happened for you did those two fall? Could you share that with me?
Once in a Lifetime, was a very instant song. It's mm-hmm. Very instantly I heard it in my brain somewhere, and it was a concept of things that just do happen once in a lifetime, particularly often with relationships.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you can just meet somebody and you know this is it, you know, mm-hmm. this is the right person.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened very, very quickly. And it was a joy to do. Everything just went very smoothly. And it was written, recorded. I only sang it once, which is often the case. I don't labor over it very much.
Okay, let's when you say you only sung it once,
yes,
are you saying that the recording that we hear when we hear Once in a Lifetime is the very first time you sung that song, and that's all the way through the very first time you sung it? Is that what you're saying?
The very first time, yes. I would have sung it along to myself playing the piano, mm-hmm. but not recording it. That is the very first time I recorded it.
Okay. Is that one take all the way through?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
I do. That's what I do.
I need you to let me give you a night like no other. If just for one night you will be my lover, walk with me, talk with me, follow where I lead. I'm gonna love you, I'm gonna love you like you've never been loved. I'm gonna take you, I'm gonna make you feel so good. I'll take the world and give it to you. You just watch me and see what I do, and you're gonna know you were loved by me. You'll remember this night, oh baby, you were loved by me, loved by me. Ooh, yeah, loved by. Second thoughts, 'cause the first ones were so good. Without a word you spoke to me, and all of me understood. I don't care any longer if it lasts or not, 'cause I'm holding on to what it is I think we've got. And I don't care anymore if it's wrong or it's right, I just know it's there deep inside. Let me give you a night like no other. Just for tonight, you can be my lover. Walk with me, talk with me, once in a lifetime, can't you see? I'm gonna love you, I'm gonna love you like you've never been loved. I'm gonna take you, I'm gonna make you feel so good. I'll take the world and give it to you. Just watch, see the things I'll do, and you're gonna know you were loved by me. Yeah. You'll remember this night.
Very different. It's not certainly not traditional blues. It's very, very different sound, and I was particularly pleased with the production on that, actually. But anyway, I actually wrote Shouldn't Be Here one very wet day, one very wet and dismal afternoon. It was absolutely pouring with rain, and I'd actually been talking to somebody who was involved in a relationship that she shouldn't be, and I was watching the rain, and I heard this in my head: we shouldn't be here. together, that sort of idea. Mm-hmm. And I wanted it to be really quite sort of dreamy and otherworldly, as if they were actually standing together, these people, in the rain, maybe. And it just all came together, and I added instruments on there to give it certain qualities. I've got a hackbrett, which is a sort of zither, mm-hmm. Which you play it with hammers, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I put that in there, and there are kalimbas as well in the background. I wanted it to have a bit of an otherworldly, and I don't often do sort of backing vocals very much, because in my opinion, this is just me, mm-hmm. I like the idea that a lot of blues songs are quite lonely, and that, you know, you're a woman singing about a lost love or some passion or something, and I don't really want anybody else in there. Mm-hmm. In a way, and so I don't often do backing vocals, but in a couple of songs I have done, in Shouldn't Be Here, it's not very much backing vocals, but sort of little whispers and mournful voices here and there. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a lot in that song, actually, and I really like the result. Yes, it's different. It's a different sound.
We shouldn't be here like this. We shouldn't be here. Not like this. You shouldn't touch me. I shouldn't want your kiss. We shouldn't be alone together. Not so close together. Not like this. Not now, not now. You shouldn't touch me, not like this. I shouldn't want you, though I always did. You belong to me. Where did we go wrong? How couldn't I see? Couldn't see back then. Back then. Can't keep my hands off you. Can't keep my eyes off you. Can't keep my mind off you. Can't stay away. I should leave you and be on my own. What was wrong with me? Why didn't I know? Was I thinking of? I can't just leave you now and lose that love again. Again. Cause I love you, love you, love you. And I need you, need you, need you. And I feel you, feel you, feel you slipping away from me. Again, can't just let you go. Not now, not now. We shouldn't be here, shouldn't be here like this. We shouldn't feel this with every kiss. We should be going, I should be going, can't stay away from you.
In terms of creating, I don't know if you ever read, did you read the book that Ronnie Wood wrote? And there's a quote in there that he says, he didn't so much as write songs or music, he clutched them out of the air.
Yes.
And I thought that is so true, because when I don't so much, I don't know, they just sort of happen, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll stop talking to you and I'll have had an idea and somewhere in my mind, and suddenly I can't explain it any other way, I get the words and the music all at one go, straight away, all of it.
Bless your heart.
I sit down at the piano and I know exactly what I want to do with it in terms of drums or not having any drums or a saxophone or whatever. And the only thing that really changes is when I actually sing it, because singing for me is the icing. I make myself wait until I've got the song down and then I sing it. Mm-hmm. And that can change the words, because sometimes when you sing, you change the words very slightly to fit with the mood. Mm-hmm. But generally, it comes as a package. That's all I can say. And when I sit down to play it the first time, I can tell you that I'm entirely full of goosebumps or chills all over me.
Yeah.
It really is. It's an incredible moment. Sometimes it's more than others. And that's when I think, oh, that's a good song, you know. Mm-hmm. Some are little songs, some are big songs, aren't they? You know, sometimes you get one that you think, oh, this is just good.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to sing it, you know. I can't wait to sing it.
Yes.
And singing it is my reward when I get to the end of all the recording of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I say that to people and some people think I'm completely crazy, but it's true. It's the same with the spoken word. It just happens very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, like if I'm writing the lyrics, I don't stop when I'm scribbling them down. Because
mm-hmm.
it's just like somebody dictates it.
Mm-hmm.
It's there already.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's the thing. I just think, wow, it's wonderful. And so for me, you know, saying about the buzz and so on, yeah, that's definitely the moment for me. Definitely.
Yeah.
And I just wish other people could experience it, because it's quite something.
It just depends on how you feel. You know, what your perspective is when you look at it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. But I think in that example, the differences are, one is expertise from years of training or whatever. One is expertise. The other one with the children is that they have a sense of wonderment. And I think that wonderment, which has been lost in so many people, is what's important also in a music or appreciation of art. It's like being full of wonder that the day comes up every day and seeing the sunrise. It's a wonderment, it's an excitement, and being excited about what's coming next, which the people who are the grown-up ones with all the expertise have lost it, I think, a lot of them. And that's what makes it exciting,
yes,
I think.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So seeing, in some ways, there's a lot of the child in creating, isn't there? A lot of, you know, because you've got a blank canvas, as it were, and you just go forward with total commitment, with a sense of wonder that this is actually happening, and create something. And you could have all the training in the world for whatever you were in, and it would not replace that, I think. And I hate to see that childlike wonder disappear, you know, because life can get very boring, I think, and most people have lost it. And if people are colours, then those people become very grey, I think, very grey. They're no longer got colour in them somehow. They might be very good and proficient at what they do.
Yes.
And, you know, be trained very well. But that's just my little idea anyway.
I think
the thing about wonder, it's wonder in the world.
Yes, I agree. Mm.
And, you know, everybody nowadays, we all are so clever, aren't we? We all see, you know, that we can all do so many things, and everybody's a photographer and everybody can, you know what I mean? But actually, everybody's a musician in a way, but we're skimming the surface a lot of the time.
I'm curious about something. I do want to ask you something here. Simply Love. Did the idea for that come out of this? The conversation just went where the conversation went. But now I'm thinking that I'm wondering, did the idea from that come from something similar to what we've just been talking about?
Yes, it's the people love Simply Love. It has actually been very successful as a romantic spoken word, and it is that. But it's more than that. It's actually the idea of it, the inspiration for it, is the whole concept of love on a large, huge scale. What is this thing? You know, what is this thing called love or whatever? What is this wonderful thing that is in my life, your life, our life, that changes the day for us? Yes, it is the same thing. Very much so. I mean, Simply Love, like any song, a spoken word, it's like any song. It's in the ear of the hearer, you know, whatever it
references
to you. But certainly my idea for it was that it's love itself as a whole concept is a magic thing, isn't it, really? It can change you, can change people completely.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, things like going back again to the children, the unconditional love that children give you is a wonder also.
Yes.
And that's something that we lose as we grow up. I'm not going to grow up anyway, I've decided.
I refuse to.
I refuse to grow up. I don't want to grow up, you know? What a wonderful thing this love is, that it opens up my life, makes me see the day in a different way, and lights me up inside. What a wonderful thing this love is, that you should share yourself with me. By the touch of your hand, make me understand the meaning of my destiny. My destiny. And yours. Special it is that you know my thoughts and share your own as we move towards a closeness we dreamed of but have never known. A closeness we dreamed of but never achieved in all of those years of all of that need. So much need. And yet we can't touch it or see it or feel. It's only inside that this wonder is real. A
as it wraps tight around us with the lightest of touch and binds together with threads that are such fire of our desire. Our desire that will carry us on from here to beyond, to where we belong. Together. Just together. And I sit here thinking of you, and wondering why, whatever I do, you're there in my head and I'm in yours. There must be a reason. I think it's because of all of the people in all of the world. Our souls reached out and listened and heard and decided we fit. That's the truth of it. We fit. Like night and day, light and shade, being together is why we were made. What a wonderful thing this love is that walked into our hearts and minds, pushed us together and bound us tight, made us see our new life in sight, gave us no choice, no means of escape. We're locked as one now, and it's too late to move forward alone, for there is no alone. Now we know we both just came home. We both came home. Home. With this gift from above, this gift to us, this gift is love. Simply love.
Reading when I was very small Peter Pan, that was a book, and loving it and hating the end, you know, because Wendy decided to go home and grow up. Mm-hmm. And I thought, how stupid you are. What are you doing that for? You know, and in my childish writing, I wrote in pencil at the end of this book, I hate this ending. I think I was about 7 or something.
Yeah.
But I refused to. I don't want to lose that wonder.
Yeah.
And think about somebody like Walt Disney, who, what an amazing imagination and inspiration he had.
Yes.
And he believed in dreams and the wonderment of children, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to hang on to it as long as I can, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
I read
and Walt, I think you've got it too. I think you have it. Yes, definitely.
I will say that for a while in my life, I don't think I ever lost it, but I think it was, you know, I had a blanket over it.
Yes, I know what you mean. Yes.
I finally came back around to realizing that there's just an awful lot of fun. First of all, fun is more fun than not having fun. Having fun, you know, it doesn't take Albert Einstein to see that having fun is more fun than not having fun.
Yes.
And enjoying things are more enjoyable than not enjoying things.
Yes.
And without the wonder, the enjoyment and the fun is missing.
Yes.
And so
it is.
So I just decided I've got this blanket over this wonder, this creative energy that kind of is wonder. And I'm just going to pull the blanket back off of that and just throw the damn blanket away. Cause I want to be having fun.
Life
is too short and I want to enjoy and I want to have fun. And I want people that I hang around with to feel the same way while they're around me, to the extent that I'm able. But I also realize, you know, having fun for me is my responsibility, but having fun for you is your responsibility.
Yes.
But I can be a facilitator.
Yes.
You know,
yes. I understand. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I think every day we get up, we've got a choice. We can either be miserable or not, can't we?
Yes.
It's entirely up to us. And it's easy, you know, people will say that's quite a glib thing to say because some people have got huge problems in their lives, you know. You know, whether it's, I don't know, emotional, financial, physical, whatever. And it's not always that easy, is it? But for a lot of people, even who have quite fortunate lives, they still can be miserable.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've got the blanket over the box with the wonderment in it, probably.
One more thing I want to ask you about specifically. Okay. Silver lining. Can you tell me about that? Is there just...
Silver Lining is a very personal song. Silver Lining is about, you know, we've all had bad times, haven't we? I've had some seriously bad times. It's about coming out of under a blanket, as we were saying before, in a way. You think your life's going along okay, and then I had certain, not just my parents, but this is later, different tragedies hit me, and... I never stopped doing music, but I became slightly detached from it somehow. And I think you just, I suddenly woke up and thought, this is not how life should be. And I heard this song, Silver Lining, and I just, again, wrote it all down very quickly. So it's very true of how I was at the time, and it's like I didn't realise that people who loved me were there and the way forward was there. I just didn't see it at the time, you know, because you become clouded somehow with things that are happening to you or the blanket goes over your head or whatever. And it was true. And it's one of the lines in the song is I've been in all the wrong places with all the wrong faces. And I was. In people that I was not really communicating properly with, and it was just I woke up. It was just like I woke up and thought, I seem to have lost my way here. And Silver Lining really is about me getting back on track.
Yeah.
With myself and music too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's quite emotional.
Yeah.
And I remember that's another one that was actually recorded live. By somebody who was quite good at doing it. And I cried my eyes out at the end of it when I'd actually done it. And all the guys over there just stood there and waited while I, you know, stopped being a blubbering female. You know? Dear, dear. I'm not given to that, really. Not in public.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a quite important song, Silver Line. I love it.
I've been looking for silver lining. Been searching my whole life through. I've been in all the wrong places with all the wrong faces, and it was there all the time in you. I saw it in you. On the road or in my head, makes no difference, like I said. Still searching for the way home. Been in places you wouldn't wanna see, with faces always lied to me, and never ever found my way home. And it really makes no difference how great the distance, 'cause I only ever wanted to be home. Never looked behind me, didn't let truth find me, always looking, never finding my home, my home. Never saw you standing there, never felt your hand touching mine, didn't know the answer to all those years of wasted time. But no more wasted time, no more, no more. 'Cause I've been looking for that silver lining, yeah. I've been searching the whole of my life through. Looked in all the wrong places with all the wrong faces. Then I looked and I saw it there in you. See it in your eyes now. Know that I've come home somehow. My silver lining is you. All the time it was you. It was you. It was you. You.
And then I also want to ask you about this hamming it up, because I'm here to tell you that just that is some just some mighty really? Fine piano playing right there.
Well, you know, Tommy, you said to me, could you send me something instrumental? And I thought, oh, well, I'll just send that. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
That was at my friend's studio. I'd gone there to actually put some vocals on for another guy with a band, and for him. And we were all there. We'd had a very, very long day, actually. And he's got a nice piano there. And we'd actually had a drink or two, actually, which is usual at the end of the day. But anyway, and we just started messing around, and he said to me, you know, let's just record some of this jam session. I said, okay, then go on. So that was just one. I've got probably about four tracks that were done at that time. But whenever I do a live gig, I tend to just jam it up at the end. You know, depending on the audience and how lively it is. I tend to do a regular gig at New Year's Eve, which in the city, which is quite a nice bit of a swish occasion. I like it. And, you know, people are in a really happy mood at that time. So I tend to do a lot of that then. And I have to say, I really was surprised when you liked it so much, honestly, because it was not rehearsed at all. It was just, I just played it, you know.
That gives it an honest quality, not that it's missing from anything else, but it just is part of the energy that you you know, yeah. I've got this I have some weird things that I think about sometimes, and
yes.
and one of them is that the less you get in the way of the music coming through
yes.
you, the more someone else is likely to pick that up from listening
yes.
to the music that you have played.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things about that. It is just honest and right there, and not to mention just technically superb.
Thank you.
I mean, it's just, and it's such an enjoyable thing to listen to. And it's up-tempo.
It does move, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. I loved it, actually. I love doing that sort of thing. And I'm not bad as a pianist, actually, still.
No, you are not.
Thank you so much, Kuda. This has just been interesting, enlightening, motivating, and most of all, very much fun. Thank you very much. It's great. I did say to you, didn't I? I hope I don't talk too much, really. But and we did say, didn't we, that we should just let it flow, and it certainly flowed.
That's
hasn't it?
Exactly yes. And
yes.
This is I love you. I mean, don't take that in a strange way or nothing. I'm talking
brother and sister.
Okay.
Yes.
And this has been such a wonderful, wonderful experience for me.
Me too. I really enjoyed it, actually. And it could go on and on, you know.
Yes,
we could wander down many more roads.
Yeah,
I think,
we could.
Anyway, I'm very grateful to you for, not grateful. I'm very happy that we connected.
I am as well.
Totally connected. Yes.
This was a conversation that was on an altogether deeper level, at least from my perspective, somebody just being polite to each other. I think we were talking. Yes. We were two humans talking here. We still are.
Yes. And it's a case of feeling comfortable enough to open up, isn't it? You know.
Yeah.
Which I did and have and am. Yeah. So thank you very much for that. I really enjoyed that. Thank you very much.
I have enjoyed it too. Let me ask you one other thing.
Okay.
Is there anything that you wanted to say or talk about that we haven't talked about already?
My CD will be, I'm going to put it on CD, baby, and it'll be up there at the end of the month.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be putting a link on my website. I just put it on the first page of my website so it goes direct to the page at CD Baby. So it's just anybody who wants to find me, I'm just tommybrewster.com. It's all on there. You can easily find anything. And I just hope people will like it, you know. That's as much as you can ask for, that people will like it or at least listen. Mm.
Well, I can't speak for anyone but myself on that, but I can tell you I certainly like it.
Oh, good. Thank you.
What I have heard so far, and all of your music, as a matter of fact.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Mix Files, and we appreciate that you have. Thank you for joining us. Our guest this week has been Tommy Brewster. What a fun time I had. Always do. The Mix Files is a great gig. Join us again next week, won't you please? The Mix Files on Mixstream Radio from Mixposure.com. The Mix Files page on Mixposure.com is Mixposure.com/Mix Files. You can get downloads of the Mix Files shows there, and you can stream them if you like. We appreciate you. Hope to see you next week. The Mix Files, number 19.